Well, Jim, this morning we have Lee McFerrin with us. Lee is one of the caseworkers over in the men's day room, first shift. And Lee, we are just excited to have you on the radio broadcast this morning.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Now, Lee, you have been in a lot of different roles at the mission. You've been on the radio before, but it's been a bit of a journey. So why don't you give our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with who you are, kind of what's been your all the different roles you've been able to have here at Haven of Rest through the years in the men's division?
Sure. I think it's important to start with how I came here in the first place. In June of 1997, I attempted suicide. I was addicted to alcohol and pornography, and I had nowhere to go. So they sent me to the Haven of Rest, and I thought, well, I don't want to go to a homeless shelter. And I had a misconception of what the homeless shelter was like, and I figured, well, I'll be there a day or so, and I'm going to finish the job. And I remember seeing Matthew 11:28 on the walls, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it was like the Lord was speaking to me at that moment. And everybody at the mission seemed a little different. You could tell, you know, they talked about Jesus and they talked about the difference he made in your life. And I said, well, I've tried everything else. Let's try that. And I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And then I got on the men's program, the residential program, because I didn't know how to walk with Christ. I was a new Christian, and the Haven helped me with that, sustained me and supported me for 15 months, you know, while I was dealing with my past addiction issues and addressing life-controlling issues. And I remember the Scott Campbell was the guy that I first met in the Haven of Rest and the day room. And I was like, I want to do what he does. You know, the Haven's helped me to get back on my feet. I would like to help other people get back on their feet. And at the end of my internship, I was offered a position on third shift. I was a third shift supervisor. I was on third shift for 8.5 years. And I was on second shift then for about 10 years. And I've been on first shift for almost 6 years. In May, it'll be 25 years total.
Wow. Lee, and I remember, boy, going back 26 years ago when you did come in and
right.
just seeing how God just worked miraculously in your life. And here you are working at the Haven of Rest Ministries.
Yes.
You've worked many, many different positions.
Yes.
And just exciting to see how God just does wonderful things in transformation of people's lives. Now, you mentioned Scott Campbell. Now, Scott Campbell, Jim, you know, we know Scott Campbell here, but our listeners might not know. Scott used to work in the evening time. He was the evening chaplain. And then when he left, he ended up getting his doctorate degree. He's a pastor of a church out close to Coventry, and just a wonderful man of God, and even to see what God has done with his life. So, Lee, now that you are working first shift, you're a caseworker, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that go on
sure.
on your schedule.
Sure. I usually come in the morning, and we call it organized chaos because everyone's waking up. You have a few staff that are dealing with about 80 men. And trying to organize and prioritize their needs and help them the best way possible. And then when the day starts at 8 o'clock, me and Dwight start seeing clients. And we try to help them find sustainable employment, sustainable housing. We look at any life-controlling issues that might be preventing that. And we try to develop a case plan with them. We walk alongside them. What do you want to do? What does success look like for you? Here's how we can partnership with you to make that happen. And then we help them navigate the resources that are available in the area, Social Security, Medicare, maybe they need a doctor, employment, training, even school. We've had some people go to school while they stayed at the mission, and it's really exciting to see the change in their life and the progress in a real short amount of time.
So, Lee, you just, wow, that was a lot.
Yes.
And that's so much that goes on in the day room that, mm-hmm. that you do, and you're juggling all this every day. And my mind goes to, if I was listening right now, some people maybe have a picture of like maybe a person who holds a sign by the side of the road.
Right.
And they're that might be their conception of like, well, it's a homeless person. They're holding a sign or they're in a tent. And there are many people like that we minister to.
Correct.
But what you just described, that whole big list of things that we offer the guests, what I love about that is that goes beyond just the crisis that they're experiencing at the moment,
right,
which was we'll provide lodging, we'll provide you food, and we'll provide you clothing and mm-hmm. some other options, but you and the team that you're a part of there over in the day room, you're going so much deeper than just the crisis,
right?
To work towards not only the barriers that might keep them there, but then solutions to move them forward.
So they don't go from crisis to crisis like I was doing before I came here.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, Lee, you probably have your eye, you know, you've been over there for 25 years. We've worked together for most of that time, and there's been changes, right? It's not,
yes.
It doesn't look like it did when we were here 25 years ago.
We have to adapt.
Yeah.
And be flexible to what the world is sending us and who the Lord is sending us.
So what are some of the things you're seeing right now that are kind of like cutting edge, if you will, but like right what's happening on the street type of things? What are some of the issues that our guests are struggling with currently?
Well, it's funny because I've seen a transition. When I first came here, it was alcohol and crack. And alcohol is always available, and it's even socially acceptable, so you're always going to see that. And then the drug became it went from crack to ecstasy, I believe. And then it went to heroin and prescription drugs, and that's very popular right now, opiates and fentanyl. And now meth is making another comeback again. And we're seeing the average age of our clients go down. When I came here, I think the average age of our new clients was in the 50s, and now it's in the low 30s. We're getting young men and young women that grew up in dysfunctional homes. They don't know how to live. They don't have a work ethic, and they don't know what to do next. And it's exciting to be able to partnership alongside them and see growth.
Well, you know, Lee, as you kind of went through some of the changes of the addictions, all being addictions, some of those addictions, even they're all bad.
Right.
And we're not playing that down, but some, like meth, behavior issues are a lot different.
Right.
When I say that, people can be a little bit more aggressive.
Right.
When you see that, and you see that shift
going
on and ministering to them. Those are the scenarios that you guys see.
And I think the Haven of Rest does a very good job about being proactive and at the front of these movements and inviting experts from local fields to come in and help us with these things, help us with these scenarios, because we have to solve the problem as a community. And the Haven of Rest is open to doing that and helping us identify the problems and what possible solutions might be.
So, Lee, one of the things that, there's many, but as you work with men— sometimes it's just planting a seed, right?
Right.
Like the victory is
right
when someone's in the throes of that and they've come to us. Maybe the first victory is just getting them to think there's another way.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes that's a big part of our ministry. And it might be the next time we see them that we get to take another step.
Yeah.
But when it gets time for those next steps, and you kind of rattled off a lot of them really fast earlier on.
Right.
There's a lot of exciting things that we get to do when folks are really ready for that change.
Right.
And I know for you in particular, you get to work with guys with what can be a very emotional, sensitive subject, which is money.
Right.
And
that's immediately where my mind went when you started talking about that.
Yeah. So share a little bit about maybe some of the positives that come as we help men build skills in saving and planning their money versus spending.
Right. We had a client, I won't name him, but I had dealt with him for 15 years. And for 15 years, he got on agreements with us. And one of the stipulations is that he would turn in some of his money. Well, his grip from his addiction was so strong, he couldn't do that for 15 years. He would always leave and then come back again. And earlier this year, he turned in money for the first time. And it was a huge deal. It was a huge deal to him, a huge deal to me. He hugged me. He hugged Dwight. I mean, it was very powerful because he was free at that moment and knew it. You know, and he's got his own place now. He's living in his own place.
Praise
and as
God.
Far as I know, he's doing well.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, just tying that program, that agreement of money.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing with that as they turn that in, it's
right.
not coming to us.
Right.
It's actually, we're saving it for them.
For the client.
So that as they stay here and as they are working with the caseworkers and even outside agencies, saving money so
right.
eventually they can get out and get on their own.
And when they see that, they really appreciate that because you have to have your rent money when you're outside. The landlord doesn't want to hear any excuses. Mm-hmm. And some of these people have never budgeted. When they have money, they spend it.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn what budgeting can do for them and how it improves their life. And there's always resistance when you talk to a man about money.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he sees what he can do with it. But he's seeing that there's a better way, that he doesn't have to keep living the way that he's living and going from crisis to crisis. And that's powerful when that light clicks on and you see that.
And Lee, I don't want to jump the gun on our celebration because part of that man's story and so many story is the switch that happens mentally that even gets them ready to receive a new way of thinking
is
the fact that they came to know Jesus Christ
right.
as their Lord
Amen.
And Savior. And so that's infused in everything we're doing. And but then those moments where it's like, I'm just so encouraged hearing that story where I can just picture that embrace and that man where God just did this work in him. And things that used to be triggers to know that he now is no longer bound.
Right.
Like, wow, that's a powerful thought.
It is.
And so that money's one big one.
Right.
We do that in a lot of ways. You mentioned with the younger guys,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's they can be adrift. Like, where's my place? I have no purpose.
Right.
And one of the things God designed us for is work.
Right.
We do find meaning and value in work.
And what it means to be a man. And Christ helps us with that.
Yeah, share a little bit about practical ways we help some of these younger guys find meaning and work in some of these other avenues.
Sure. We share the gospel, and they're usually always practical messages, things that have helped us, things that we've seen that worked. And I tell the guys all the time, this worked for me. It might work for you and help you. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And we just try to take one step at a time with them as far as money, as far as finding employment, as far as finding houses, and they find out, wow, that wasn't that hard at all. And it's not when you have somebody to walk alongside you and help navigate those areas, especially when you don't know what it means to be a man or a woman in today's culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Lee, the term frontline ministry,
mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot when I talk to pastors and people that come through. We use that word frontline ministry. I know why it's frontline ministry. You know why it's frontline ministry. Jim, you know why it's frontline ministry. Why don't you tell our listeners, what does that mean? Because, I mean, they come right into that door, right into the day room.
Right.
And they come in pretty much in all different states.
Yeah. A lot of the guys we deal with, and this is brought home on a monthly basis in this ministry, is that the guys who come to us are one step away from eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if that's your last interaction with them or what they're thinking about doing. We've had several clients pass away on us for all kinds of variety of reasons. And it helps remind you why you're here and how important the ministry is and how important they are.
Mm-hmm.
Christ died for them like he died for us, and he sent them here for a reason.
Yeah, every guest that comes to us, you know, we're called to a unique ministry because we're ministering to our own friends and neighbors.
Right.
This is somebody's son or daughter.
Right.
This is somebody's father or uncle or brother or sister.
Right.
And they're precious in the eyes of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of the story you shared with us before we came on air, that sometimes it's just the simple things that mean a lot to people. Maybe share just real quickly the phone call you got to help someone make.
We had a client who's been homeless off and on for a year, and finally the police sent him to Akron because he could no longer stay where he was at. And today we called Social Security for him, and we helped get his benefits reestablished. He was eligible for them for the entire year, and he was just so intimidated by the process that he didn't do it. And he actually broke down in tears after we did that. And to us, that seems like a small, very small, minor matter. But he's like, this is the first time somebody's helped me in a year. And I realized that wasn't me. I had the privilege of accepting that compliment because I was in the Lord's ministry. But it still felt good to be the Lord's hands and feet.
Well, you know, things that we might consider small
mm-hmm.
could be giants
in
their life. A phone call.
Yeah.
You helping for that individual to take that first step, making the connection, and then change starts to happen.
Yeah.
And it's small steps, it's big steps,
mm-hmm.
As our guests come in to the ministry,
right.
Working with where they're at. Lee, as we wrap things up here, 25 years,
mm-hmm.
You've been in three different positions at the Haven Arrest, all over pretty much at the men's facility. How could our listeners continue to pray for you?
I pray that they'd give me, that the Lord would give me wisdom, and that I would remain tender-hearted in a clean and willing vessel fit for His use. I have some relatives and loved ones that don't know the Lord, and I also like to pray for them and lift them up, that the Lord would help them. And I'd like to give a shout-out to my Bible study, Broken Vessels Made Whole. They've really helped me out. We're in a difficult ministry, and we need to be ministered to as well, and that Bible study's really helped me out at my church.
Well, Lee, thank you for coming on the radio broadcast today, and thank you. We can't say thank you enough for the work you put in day in and day out, that it doesn't go unnoticed. And even if we don't always see it, the Lord definitely sees
Amen.
It. And we want to thank you for everything you do here at Haven of Rest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.